Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ben Sugarman. I am giving the Monday afternoon slot here at the Boca Raton Synagogue. First of all, a thank you. We'll make this short, but a thank you to Rabbi Simi Shabtai for putting all this together. It's through his efforts that we are able to spread out Torah on a broader scale here at the synagogue, and really a karas hatov goes out to him. For that matter, to the Boca Raton Synagogue in general, for creating such an infrastructure where we're able to disseminate. With that being stated, let's get into it. We're going to be doing the third parak of Sanhedrin. Basically, the way we're going to view the year is that we're going to break it up. First half of the year, we're going to cover sugyas in the third parak of Sanhedrin, and later this year, sometime after the mid-year break, we're going to move on to the eighth parak of Sanhedrin. So those are the two parakim that we're going to be covering. And generally speaking, you'll get used to the style in just a moment, but generally speaking, we're going to be doing sugyas. In other words, we're going to be covering topics. I'd like to go through everything like we do daf yomi, you know, covering every word, covering, you know, as much as we can. But really, every afternoon that I get up here, so I have an agenda. The agenda is Torah, and nobody get nervous. But I have an agenda, and we're basically going to cover a particular sugya, and hopefully pick apart one issue that comes out of the Gemara. Let's take a look together at the first Mishnah in the Perek. The Mishnah starts off Dina Mamonos B'Shlosha, so monetary law comes in the form of three judges. Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. It's the first Mishnah of the third parak of the Masechta. Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Mishnah starts off Dina Mamonos B'Shlosha, that when you have monetary case, so you need three judges. This Mishnah is really take off from the first parak. If you take a look back at the first parak of the Masechta, and you take a look at the first daf of the Masechta, so it opens up with the same three words, Dine Mamonos B'Shlosha, that when you have monetary law, you need three judges. The Mishnah over there points out that when other cases, so it's going to vary. Some cases you need more than three, some you need 23, some you need 71, but basically, when it comes to monetary law, so you need a Beis Din of three. So this Mishnah over here, this is picking really up from the first parak, and so it is just a hemshech. It's really of the first parak, where it talks about Dina Mamonos. Dina Mamonos comes in the form of three judges. Okay, now, had we not gone on in the Mishnah, which we're about to do in just a moment, so you and I both would have said that, how does this work? Pretty simple. You have a court, meaning you live in a community. There are Jews in the community. You set up a legal system. The Torah instructs us that we have to set up a legal system. And as a result of that, so you and I would think that the way this works is that there's a Jewish court set up, a Beis Din set up in every community that you live in. And if there's any problem, if there's any issue, and we need to resolve any type of dispute that we have, monetary dispute, so what we're going to do is we're simply going to go to the established court within the community. And with that stated, we're going to go on now to the next part of the Mishnah, which is, if you're familiar with the Mishnah, you know what's coming up next. But if you're not familiar with the Mishnah, and this is the first time you're seeing it, so it's going to surprise you exactly how the Mishnah progresses. Zebar lo echad, the zebar lo echad. So the Mishnah says here it's going to work. You know, the assumption, of course, is that we're having a dispute, so that means that there are two litigants. That's usually how it works. And these two litigants are simply at odds with one another. And so the Mishnah says here's the procedure. The judicial procedure in terms of how we're going to construct a court of three people is that we're going to have one litigant choose one judge. We're going to have a second litigant choose a second judge. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Ushneim barim lahen od echad, divrei Rabbi Meir. And as far as the third judge is concerned, because we need to get to the number three, so the Mishnah says that the two litigants will somehow come to some sort of agreement in terms of who that third judge is going to be. At least that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Mishnah goes on to say, V'chachamim armim, shnei dayanim barim lahem od echad. And the Chachamim say that the two judges are going to then go ahead and select a third judge. It's not going to be up to the litigants to select the third judge, but rather the judges themselves are going to be the ones responsible for selecting the third judge. Now the Mishnah goes on, and at this point in time, I'm going to stop at the Mishnah. I mean, we're not going any further in the Mishnah. This is what we're going to be discussing today. Let's introduce the topic today with the following. Okay. Number one, it does seem a little bit strange, meaning that we have a judicial system, part and parcel of the Torah, is that shoftim v'shoftim titim b'chol gvulecha, that we are instructed to put up a judicial system. And it seems a little bit strange that every time that there is a dispute between two parties and we have to go to litigation, so we're going to go ahead now and go into court construction. We're building a court. You don't have an established court already in the community? In other words, the first thing we're going to do is we're just simply going to, let's put a court together. Okay, let's assemble. It's a little bit strange. Shouldn't there already be an existing court? Question number one. Question number two. We are looking at the construction of a court, and according to Rav Meir, so we're going to choose, each one is going to choose two judges, and then there's got to, I'm sorry, each of the litigants is going to choose one. Thank you. Each of the litigants is going to choose one, and then what's going to happen is that the two of them are going to choose the third. Okay. I can almost begin to understand why each one of the litigants is going to choose a judge, because, and we'll talk more about this later on this afternoon, representation. Each litigant feels that they need someone to represent them. Now, it does sound like what I'm talking about is a lawyer, but stay tuned. We're going to come back to that later. So I understand that. But what's the need now of the two litigants being involved in getting the third judge? According to the Chachamim, the judges themselves are going to choose the third judge. But according to Rav Meir, each one of the litigants also gets a part in choosing the third judge. That seems to be a little bit strange as well. Why should they also be involved in the selection of the third judge? Some of these most basic issues that we're going to be discussing in the course of the afternoon, so we really need to know the Gemara. So what we're going to do now is we're going to skip the rest of the Mishnah. I'm going to come back on another occasion to talk about the rest of the Mishnah. But right now, let's go right to the Gemara. We're going to jump to the Gemara, and just to get our head wrapped around this issue, so I'm going to start with the Gemara. Now, what I'm going to do from now, for the next about 5 minutes, is I'm going to take us line by line through the Gemara, from the Gemara until the three wide lines ending with the words Yasa Adin La'amito. And so just to get settled, just to get under, you know, a grounding in this discussion, so please bear with me as we go from the Gemara now until the words Yasa Adin La'amito. Now, in order to understand the Gemara, just one thing you need to know, one word of warning, and that Rashi does tell us in the Mishnah. And that is, at this juncture, at this point, when the Mishnah says Zebar Lo Echad, so the way I presented the Mishnah is that each one is going to be selecting their own judge. The Gemara starts off with a Havamina, that's not how the Gemara initially understood the Mishnah. What does it mean when the Mishnah says Zebar Lo Echad? Each one chooses one. Rashi says back in the Mishnah that each one of them is choosing a Beis Din. That's where the Gemara's starting point of the discussion is. Take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah writes, Mashma Zebar Lo Beis Din Echad Shehin Gimel V'Zeh Echad Harishisha. Each one is choosing a Beis Din. That's the Hav Amina right now. And Vishneim Baran Lam Od Echad. And then the two courts are choosing a third court. So now we're 3 times 3. Hare Tes. That gets us to the number 9. V'hainu Dekamat Mamai Zebara Habitalat Asagi. And Rashi says, now that you know that, you're set up for the first question of the Gemara. And let's go to the first question of the Gemara. The Gemara asks the question, Mai Zebara Lo Echad V'Zebara Lo Echad. What does it mean each one's choosing one? Again, according to Rashi, the Hav Amina right now is that each one of them is choosing a Beis Din. So that's 3 for one litigant. 3 for a second litigant. Now they're going to choose a third Beis Din. That's now already 9 judges altogether. So the Gemara says, why should that be? But Tlatasaki, what do you mean? They're 3. All you need is 3. So Hachi Kamar, so the Gemara says, okay, let's suggest the following pshat now in the Mishnah. Kisha Zebar Lo Beis Din Echad, V'Zebar Lo Beis Din Echad, Shnei Bar Lema Od Echad. So right now what the Gemara is suggesting is, good, let's change our initial assumption, but not radically, just a little bit. Let's keep it that each one of them is selecting a Beis Din. You're right. So one litigant is selecting one Beis Din. The second litigant is selecting another Beis Din. And then what are we going to do? We're going to select the third Beis Din. And what are we going to do with the first two Beis Dins? Shelf them. Another time. Another occasion. So in other words, right now what the Gemara is suggesting is, it's really the third Beis Din that's being selected that's going to be the court, the judges over us. The Gemara then goes off on a little bit of a tangent. And the Gemara says, Lova Matz Ma'akev. Now it's a little bit strange. You mean to tell me that the Lova, that the borrower could be Ma'akev, he can hold back the whole case? Now the premise of the Gemara over here, I do not want to spend a lot of time on this point because it's not going to be what we're focusing on this afternoon. But just to explain the Gemara right now. The Mishnah is talking about monetary law. Monetary law can come in so many different forms and so many different disputes. But included in monetary law, of course, are loans. Now, when you have a loan, so that means that you have a borrower and you have a lender. Okay, that's how loans usually work. And in a case of a borrower and lender, so we generally say in the realm of halacha that the borrower is subservient to the lender. The lender's in the driver's seat, lender has the upper hand, and the lender is always basically in charge. And so that means that, generally speaking, the lender can dictate the terms of which court they're going to go to, and not the borrower. And it's a little bit strange that, because in our Mishnah, the way the Mishnah presents itself, it sounds like the borrower can say, oh, we're not going to go to your court, but rather we're going to go to my court. Baro doesn't have a right to do that. The Malva can force judgment in his, and I say this literally, in his home court. But the borrower, however, cannot demand that the case be taken into his home court. So the Gemara says, "Kedam Rav Yochanan Berakosh Basur Yishanu Hachanami Berakosh Basur Yishanu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but Rav Yochanan says that, but that's only true if we're talking about an expert court. But if we're not talking about an expert court, so then the Gemara says, then all is fair, and the borrower could say to the lender, you're not taking me anyway to an expert court, and as a result of that, we could judge even in my court." Okay, if you understood that part, that's fine. If not, for the time being at least, we are, again, focusing on the next part of the Gemara. But if it's the expert, so then no. Rav Papa Amar Afilo Tema Mumchen. Rav Papa says it could be that the Mishnah is even talking about experts. And it could be talking about a case where you have a Beis Din, like the Beis Din of Rav Huna, Rav Chista, so where they are both sitting and holding court in the same city, where the Lov is saying to the Malva, look, I understand if I'm taking you away from where you are to go to where I am. I understand that's an issue, but that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about where both courts are within the same town, and the Lov can say to the Malva, I want to meet even in my court. Okay. Either way, that was a tangent of the Gemara. Gemara just simply wanted to know, how can the Lova tell the Malva, we're not going to your court, we're going to my court? That's not the usual relationship of a Malva and a Lova. To which the Gemara says one of two things. Either, number one, they're not expert judges, so the Lova could say to the Malva, I'm not going to your court. I don't have to go to your court. Or, according to Rav Papa, the two courts are in the same town, and therefore there's no tircha, there's no extra burden to go to the Lova's court over the Malva's court. Anyway, let's come back now to the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara then goes on to say Tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Now remember, before we got into the tangent, what was the Gemara suggesting? The Pshat in the Mishnah goes like this. If we are in litigation with one another, I'll select a court, you'll select a court, and then we're going to select the third court. Now when I say we, so Machlokas in the Mishnah, who's going to select that third court? Either the litigants or the judges, one of the two, and it's that third court that's going to preside over our case, and the first two courts are going to take a hiatus. They're not going to be involved. That's right now what we're suggesting is pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks now two very strong questions. Tanan. Number one, let's take a look at the Mishnah. V'chachamim amrim shnei dayanim barim lehem od echad. Okay, the two dayanim are going to select another. Now, isak adache kidde ka'amrinan beizdin. Now, if you think the pshat in the Mishnah is that when we say that they are selecting, who are the they? Beis Din. If you think that's the pshat in the Mishnah, Beis Din basa de pasu lahu, azlu uvar lahem beidina achrina, do you really think that after Beis Din has been disqualified, they're now ready to say, oh, I understand you don't want us. Oh, it's perfectly fine. Here, let's help you select another court. It's hard to imagine. And furthermore, va'od, my zebar lo echa v'zebar lo echad. And then how do you understand when the Mishnah says zebar lo echa v'zebar lo echad? Now that second question of the Gemara is really not clear what it's asking. And in a moment I'm going to come back to that second question of the Gemara. I'm going to explain that second question of the Gemara in just a moment. Elahachi kamar. So finally the Gemara comes around now on what it feels is the correct shot in the Mishnah. Kishe zebar lo dayan echad. Finally. The Gemara now comes around on the idea that we're not talking about a Beis Din. That each litigant is not selecting a Beis Din, but rather each litigant is selecting a Dayan. Zebra lo Dayan Echad, Zebra lo Dayan Echad, Shnei Bar lo Mod Echad. And then the two judges are going to be selecting a third judge, and that's what the Mishnah means. Okay, so the way that I presented the Mishnah at the very beginning of the Shir, that each litigant is selecting a judge. So the Gemara took a while for the Gemara to get to that point. The Gemara for about 20 lines entertain the notion that really our Mishnah was talking about not a single judge, but rather each litigant is selecting a Beis Din. A, the Gemara rejected it because we don't need nine. And B, even if we're talking about where I'm disqualifying courts one and two and I'm going to the third court, how can you possibly expect courts one and two to, after being disqualified, go ahead and select the third court? So finally the Gemara comes around, the Gemara says, oh, we're not talking about a Beis Din, we're talking about each litigant selecting a judge, a single judge. And now, here we get to where we want to be. Maisha Dav Dehachi, the Gemara says, and why would we do this? What's the benefit of doing this? Meaning, all said and done, what are we looking for? What's the goal? What's the objective? To get the three judges. That's all we want to do. So why are we going about it in this manner? To which the Gemara says, Maisha Dav Dehachi, Amre B'ma'arava Mishmei de Rabbi Zera. So they said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Zera, Mitoch Shezeh Baro Lo Dain Echad, Vizeh Baro Lo Dain Echad, Ushneim Baro Ma'od Echad, Yatza Hadin La'amito. So finally the Gemara concedes that this is what's going to happen. One litigant is going to select one judge. A second litigant is going to select a second judge. And then again, depending on whether you hold like Rav Meir or like the Chachamim, somebody's going to be involved in selection of the third judge, and as a result of that, Yatza Din Lamisa. What does that mean? Fair. Fairness. Could be. Right? Oh, correct. Correct. Okay. Okay, so here we go. And really what I want to focus on today, and I know there's a long introduction, almost 15-minute introduction, but I want to focus on today, but you'll see. Going through the Shach Levatari of the Gemara is very important to get to this point, is that we have a system now in place, as described in the Gemara, and most importantly, the Gemara actually tells us what the objective is. The system in place is that we're going to have a selection of judges by the litigants, each litigant selecting a judge. A third judge is going to be selected. Machlokus to the Mishnah, who's going to be doing that? And then the reason why we're doing that is so that we have din la'amiso. Now, obviously, what you want out of a court is the fairest trial imaginable. And really what you want, I mean, aside from being fair, is you want the truth to come out. That's really what you want out of a court. You don't want anything else from a court other than just simply the determination of the truth and to get to the bottom of the matter. So what the Gemara now has presented to us is that by going through this process, from this point forward, we're going to call this process Zavla. Zavla is just an acronym, Zebar Lo Echad. So going through the process of Zavla, so now we have a system in place where it's going to arrive at the truth. And so my question, it's not my question, but my question right now is going to be, and how does that happen? How does this process get you any better MS than having simply three judges hearing the case? Oh, very good. What do they think? They're going to go back. They're going to confer. They're going to discuss. They'll probe. They'll investigate. They'll ask questions. Why is the selection of the judges going to make this better? Okay, so let's take a look at Tosfos over here. Tosfos is now, there's a Rashi which for the time being I'm just ignoring the Rashi. I'm not really. I'm going to come back to the Rashi a little bit later on. But let's take a look at Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the Amud, Kedesh Yatza Adin Lamiso. Perish Arivan. Tosfos over here is going to offer two Pshatim in the Gemara of what's happening. Pshat number one says Tosfos. Perish Arivan, Shafilo Achai Viparea Biratzon. Viyomar Kushta Dayani. So the Rivan's Pshat in the Gemara is as follows. What's going to happen through the selection process? I'll tell you what. You'll get willing participants. The litigants will acquiesce. The Rivan says, even the one who was held guilty, was found guilty, he'll pay. Willingly, says the Rivan. Because what's his argument going to be? Him meaning the litigant? Kushta Dayana. Oh, those judges, they did a good job. Good for them. Deishani ba'atmi birati ha'echad. Because I know I chose one. The im haya yahachol lahapech bezuchusi haya mehapech, and I know he would have fought for me. He would have been my representative. Now again, I know we're skirting on the issue of lawyers, and I'm going to come back to that later on. But he really would have fought for me. That's the Rivan's pshat. Okay. The Rivan, when he understands the Gemara's conclusion over here, that this arrives at truth. What does truth mean according to the Rivan?
Something that everybody would accept.
Ah, correct. So in other words, truth doesn't really mean truth. According to the Rivan. Right. Agreed. Meaning according to the Rivan, what the benefit of this process is that at least now the litigants will be more compliant. More agreeable. Yeah. But let's go on. Tosfos then goes on and gives a second pshat. Lufum riata mashma. But Tosfos says, I'll tell you what. What we just said, what the Rivan just says as a pshat in the Gemara, it's not pshat. Meaning, because that's not what MS means. Emes doesn't mean that you're going to have more agreeable litigants. That's not generally what emes means. So then he gives a different pshat, and the second pshat of Tosfos goes like this. Mashma kacha perish. Shemitoch shebirer zeh shalo. Vizeh shalo. And then we'll insert what the Bach inserts over here. So, Ushnehem hashlishi. So this one's going to choose one, and this one's going to choose one, and the two are going to choose a third. Yatza hadin la'amito. So the din will come out to be more truthful. Below avus, with less corruption. Okay, that's not perfectly accurate what he means, but with no corruptions. She'ayin shakul, because now what you're going to have is you're going to have a balanced court. V'lo yirbu mahafchim l'chova, amahafchim l'zichus, v'lo lahafech. And now, in the form of a balanced court, so now it's going to be a fair fight. Each judge now is going to be fighting on behalf of his litigant. Okay, I almost said client. I didn't want to say that. I avoided it, thankfully. Each judge is going to be fighting on behalf of his litigant. And now, basically, so I got one judge in this corner and one judge in that corner in there, and they're duking it out. And then I have a judge in the middle who is kind of, so to say, in this not such a great analogy, this boxing match. So now I have two boxers, I have a referee in the middle, and now we're going to have a fair fight. And through the fair fight, we're going to have, Tosfos says, a better decision actually being rendered. Go ahead.
Are you not talking as two dayanim? These two dayanim are really lawyers.
Right.
You're painting the picture now.
Good. Good, stay tuned.
One dayan is going to fight on behalf of his litigant.
Right.
They're not aiming for truth. If they ever have to be...
It's like an arbitration.
Correct. Good. Excellent. I'm not going to answer you. I'm just going to... You'll see. When we get to the rush, we're going to go further. Yes.
Not only that, it comes down to one dayan.
You're right. Correct. In other words, if you're taking his point to its logical conclusion, mm-hmm. So really it's one judge. Yes, correct. Correct. That's correct. Okay. So now what we have over here is in front of us a Tosfos with two really differing positions in terms of what's going on over here. So let's just summarize now. We have a system of law. Whenever there's a monetary dispute between two parties, they're going to go to court, and they're going to select a court. And the process of selection of a court is that each one of them is going to choose a litigant. And then they're going to choose a third judge. And then they're going to preside over a case. And the Gemara says, and why are we going to do that? So yatsa hadin la'amito, so that we get an honest and fair evaluation of what's going to happen over here. And Tosfos says, in terms of that last line of the Gemara, really the critical line, in other words, what the goal is, what the mission statement is of this process, so Tosfos really gives two radically different pshatim. The first pshat Tosfos, quoting the name of the Rivan, is doesn't going to make a difference. Meaning, as far as the judges is concerned, as far as adjudication is concerned, as far as truth is concerned, it's the same. It's no different. It just happens to be that at least now you have compliant litigants. Litigants are going to walk away thinking to themselves, yeah, it's fair, but it doesn't actually enhance the honesty of either side of the actual judge's side of the case. That's the first pshat in Tosfos. And the second pshat in Tosfos is radically different and really fits into the more simpler way of reading the Gemara. The Gemara says, and why are we going to do this? What's the purpose of doing this? So that we have a more fair and honest judicial system. They, the judges, are going to actually arrive at a better shot of saying the truth. So these are really two different pshatim. And what I'd like to suggest over the course of the next, okay, now I'll say 20 minutes. What I'm going to suggest over here is that these two pshatim in the Gemara's conclusion, in terms of what we're looking to accomplish, the mission statement in terms of what we're going to accomplish, may affect a number of issues that are peripheral to the to this discussion as well. You'll get to Emes, but not to the same degree.
Well,
according to the first shot.
Except maybe not the same account. But in terms of the truth, you can suspect that they won't.
According to the first shot of Tosfos, I totally understand. Right. Meaning, if we're going to a court and I don't know the court and I don't know him, and in other words, how do I know what happened and there was fair? But when I select a judge, good. Okay. So according to the first pshat in Tosfos, it's an issue of compliant litigants. I understand the difference. According to the second pshat, somehow, and this is going to be tricky, somehow by me selecting that particular judge, it's going to be a better case, better court, better judges.
Are the judges looking for facts, what the correct facts are, or are the judges going to determine what the...
Very good question. That brings us to our first point of the day. Okay, so within these two pshatim of Tosfos now, so let us cover three basic topics. Okay, three basic issues. Issue number one. Issue number one is Rashi. Now, Rashi normally is not an issue. Rashi normally is there to help and help us through the Gemara. But look at Rashi over here on the Rashi that I ignored just a little bit of time ago. And let's take a look at Rashi. Our Rashi obviously came before Tosfos. Yatzah Adin Emes Lamito. Rashi writes, Detzaisa Bale Dinim. The litigants are going to listen. The Savra Chayav Harani Batmi Birati Ha'echad. Because I chose one. V'im haya yochol hafech b'zuchusi haya mehafech. And if he would have fought for me, I know he would have fought for me. He would have done the best job imaginable trying to litigate my case. V'hadayanim ba'atzmam no chedatan lahafech b'zuchusneihem m'nei sheshneihem b'yirum. And as far as the judges are concerned, the judges themselves are going to do a better job judging because, says Rashi, no chedatam. They're going to be more comfortable. Lahafech b'zchushneim imnei sheshneim b'irum, because they were selected. Okay. So it sounds, well, actually.
He even uses some of the same words.
Well, yeah. I mean, right. The Rivan got it from Rashi. Okay. But I agree with you. Right. I actually think that Rashi actually is on both sides of the issue. Okay, meaning I think, but again, what I want to present right now is not what I think Rashi's saying, although I'd like to, just for a moment, suggest that Rashi actually is doing both, meaning saying that it's beneficial for the litigants, that's where he starts, and he says it's also beneficial for the judges. But what I want to share with you this afternoon is how the Rush understands Rashi. Now, if you have a Gemara, a standard Gemara, so the Rush is in the back, and if you don't have a standard Gemara, it's fine, you could listen. I'm reading, I'm explaining. You could take it. No, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And if I'm reading, I'm explaining it. If not, you could take a look later. And here, the Rush is in the beginning of the third parak. The Rush is in Oz Beis. And the Rush starts off by writing very strong. I'm reading the Siman Beis of the Rush in the third parak of Sanhedrin. In the back of my Gemara, I have it as Daf Gimel, but I know the layer in the back is now different depending on which Gemara you have. Mibnei sheyesh chaserei da'as, toim b'divrei Rashi. The Rush says, I know there are some Rishonim out there who read Rashi, and he writes critically, pretty harshly, and they're mechusar das, right? They really don't understand Rashi, and I'm being generous in the way I'm explaining the Rashi. He doesn't like the following reading of Rashi, which is ulamedim imenu shadain yeshal lahafech b'schus oso shabira. That really, what the purpose of the judge is that he, the one chosen by the litigant, should be advocating on behalf of the litigant, va'omid bimkomo, and stand in his place. Now we could say it, representation. In other words, the judge's role is going to be a representative of the litigant who chose him. Lechafos bedvarim asher lo kedin, covering things up that are incorrect, meaning basically acting as a lawyer. And this is not, by any means, a condemnation of a lawyer. In fact, the purpose of a lawyer, the whole idea of a lawyer, is to basically serve as representation. Represent your client as best as he can. And if it means that you're going to shape and mold and formulate an argument that best serves your client, that's exactly what you do. That's what a lawyer does. But what bothers Rashi now is that some people, after having read Rashi, and parenthetically, by the way, the second Pshat Tosfos as well, but let's right now focus on Rashi. After having read Rashi, some people feel that's exactly what Rashi meant. And the Rush says, I see this all the time, where somebody selects a judge, but not really a judge, but more like a lawyer, and somebody who's scheming and deceptive. And what do? They point to Rashi in the beginning of Sanhedrin. Yeah, Rashi says you could do that. That's okay. Where, according to Rashi, Rashi says, and that's what the judge is going to do. The judge is going to argue on his behalf. V'chalila v'chas lo diktiku b'dvarav. And the Rosh says, God forbid, that's not what Rashi meant. Shekasav de Savre Hariani Berarti. Because the Rosh is very strong. He feels that all that Rashi meant is that this is the impression that will be given to the litigants. It doesn't mean that the judges actually are going to be representing their client. It's not their client. They're not lawyers. They're judges. It just simply means that given that the litigant can choose his judge, it will make the litigant feel that he has somebody there fighting for him. But once the judges go back and have a discussion, of course the judge is not going to be an attorney just bringing one side of the case. The only thing you gain, says the Rosh, is that the litigant feels that, hey, I got a guy there who's in my court. But that's only so that he'll be a happier litigant. But the Rosh says, but God forbid, unless it's actual law, unless it's correct, unless it's right, the judge, of course, would never make any argument that isn't just simple halacha. And if the judge does try to tilt the case in his litigant's favor, and it's not based on law, so he's in violation of Mata Mishma. It's a perversion of justice. Of course the judge is not going to do that. The Rosh says, there is one thing that we could say that where this whole process is going to benefit. And that is that the judge is going to listen carefully to the litigant who chose him, pay a little better attention, get his side of the story maybe a little bit better. And the other judge is going to do that for the other litigant. And that means at least now we're going to get the whole story. And the third judge is going to sit there and listen. Okay, good. That is the Rosh's rejection of those people who understand Rashi, that these judges are going to serve as attorneys and not like lawyers. Okay. I'm sorry, and not like judges. Yes.
Superhuman judge. This is the
correct way to do it in order to get people in court.
No.
It's a modus operandi to get litigants in court to make a judgment.
Oh, so like the Rivan,
right?
Yeah, exactly. In other words, according to the Rivan, exactly. We're just doing this to get them in, to make them feel as part of the whole process. Yeah, and the guy who loses is gonna, he'll be sour, but at least he'll pay. 100%. Right. That's what the Rivan is saying. So now we have over here really an interesting discussion within Rashi, and you could say it also within the Rivan as well. And that basically is what exactly are the role of the two selected judges. So now this issue of how to understand Rashi, the correct way to understand Rashi. Now, by the way, the Rosh certainly is strong, to say the least. Strong against those people who think that Rashi over here describing these two judges, treating them more like lawyers than they are like judges, treating them like representatives more than just an unbiased judicial approach to the system. So Rush for sure is against this reading of the Rashi. But we have to acknowledge the fact that some people read Rashi that these judges are going to be actually representing the litigants. And so what's that issue over here? So again, the basic issue over here now, in terms of the correct way to understand Rashi, how to understand Rashi, what was Rashi's intent over here, is basically coming back to these two sides of Tosfos. Meaning again, what are we looking at over here? We're looking at a process where I'm choosing a judge, the other litigant is choosing a judge, and we're going to choose a third judge. And why are we going to do that? So it's either one of two possibilities. Either number one, perception on the part of the litigants, or number two, because we want a better case. A better judicial system, a crisper ruling on the part of the court. Those are your two basic signs.
More professional judgment.
More professional judgment. And now, if you understand that the purpose of this system, the mission statement over here, is to get the litigants more included and more involved, and it's just an issue of perception, so then those people who understand Rashi, that these lawyers, these Freudian slip, but not really. These judges are serving more like lawyers, meaning the Rush rejects it. But for those who understand Rashi that way, so they're obviously understanding that the whole purpose of this system is to get the litigants more involved. And therefore, yes, the lawyers, the judges are going to behave a little bit like lawyers. And not to, in other words, the Rush asks very strong questions. And I don't really, it would be hard to defend reading Rashi the way the Rush rejects it. But at least you understand they're viewing this whole process as just simply a way of placating the litigants and getting the litigants to feel like they had a say in the whole court. But if you feel like the second Pshat in Tosfos, that the issue over here actually makes a better judicial system, so then you're never going to read Rashi like that. You're going to read Rashi like the Rush. That the whole purpose over here is to get better courts, better judges. Judges will listen a little bit better to what each litigant has to say. They're going to go back. Each one of them is going to present what hopefully is a better version of what happened. And the actual justice system will work better. So again, these two Pshatim and Tosfos is really going to depend in terms of how you're going to read Rashi. Are you going to read Rashi that they're serving as lawyers, or are you going to read Rashi that they're serving as more like judges? Okay.
The minute of the day is to get away from this reading Rashi like that. Each side is choosing a boyer, right, acting as a lawyer.
Right, right. We have what's called a towing. Right, or correct. So, but correct. But in other words, from the perspective of the Gemara and what we're doing over here, what the whole purpose is over here. So again, so the way to read Rashi is going to be hinging on what we're trying to accomplish over here: create more compliant litigants, or actually creating a quote unquote a better judicial system. Okay. Issue number one. Issue number two, that comes out from this machlokus within Tosfos. We had in the Mishnah machlokus in terms of how to select the third judge. How do we select the third judge? So again, let's now jump right to the end of the conclusion of the Gemara. We're not talking about the selection of a court. We're talking about the selection of a single judge. Each litigant selects a judge. We're going to have now the third litigant select the third judge. And now, how are we going to select the third judge? In the Mishnah, it was a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Good. What did Rav Meir say in the Mishnah? Rav Meir said that the two litigants themselves are going to choose the third judge. And the Chachamim say the two judges are going to serve the third judge. Again, bear with me for a little bit as we go through a little bit more Gemara together. The Chachamim Omrim. The Gemara over here presents a discussion. Name of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kamiflagi. Maybe the machlokus over here in terms of the selection of the third judge is really hinging on an opinion laid down by Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav ina idim chos mem al ashar lim ken yodim chosim imahem. That you cannot have witnesses signing on a document unless they know who signed together with them. Meaning, as a general rule in life, it's a good rule in life, you should know who am I with. Right? I'm being called to sign on a document. Right, be it a halachic document, being a legal document, it's always good to know who you're signing with. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says you should know, and Rabbi Meir leislay to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabban leislay to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that this machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is actually hinging on this issue of whether or not you need to know. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, you have two people on the court. Who's going to be the third? So what the Gemara now is proposing is, don't bother asking the judges. It's not important that they know. Only ask the litigants. They're going to choose the third. Because Rav Meir doesn't subscribe to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And the Chachamim say no. The judges themselves are going to be selecting. They do subscribe to the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. It's important that if we're going to sit down in court, they got to know who they're sitting with. Lo dekula amaslu de Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Gemara says no. Immediate rejection. The Gemara says everyone subscribes to this rule of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. V'dasa dayanim kulam lo pligi de be'inan. And actually, says the Gemara, everyone's in agreement that in order to select the third judge, you're going to need the input of the first two judges. Pashut, obviously. The only thing that's up for debate, ki pligi das balei dayanim. I'm sorry, balei dinim. Do I also need, on top of that, the litigants' approval as well? Rameir sarve das balei dayanim nami be'inam, v'rabbanan sarve das dayanim be'inam das balei dayanim lo be'inam. And the Gemara says, and that's the machlokes between Rameir and the Chachamim, where Rameir says, I also need the input of the litigants, and the Chachamim said, no, you don't. Okay. Adkan divrei Gemara. The Gemara ends its point right over there. And now, let's ask a really simple question. And now that we know how the Gemara reads, what's the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Meaning, good. In terms of the selection of the third judge, everyone's in agreement. Kulam lo pliga, everyone agrees that I'm going to get the first judge and the second judge, and they're going to be part of the selection of the third judge. Pashut. And now the only thing left for discussion is whether or not the litigants themselves also get a vote in terms of selecting the third judge. Gemara says, according to Rav Meir, they will, and according to Chachamim, they won't. What's that issue over here? So now let's suggest the same thing. That the two Pshatim and Tosfos is really what's at issue over here. If the issue over here is that we are actually doing nothing more than just simply placating the litigants, so then you want to get the litigants' input in terms of selecting the third judge. Because that's our goal. The mission statement over here is get them invested in this court. Have them choose the first two judges. Have them choose the third judge as well. Of course I need the input of the first two. But have them also be involved in inputting in the third. Because I want their input. Or the second Pshat Tosfos. Second Pshat Tosfos is no. This is actually making for a better judicial process. Better judicial process. Good. Do you have a judge? Yes. Do you have a judge? Yes. Good. Now we're going to get a third judge. I don't need the litigants to get a third judge. The judges can get a third judge. And as of right now, the way it's set up, we're going to have a fantastic judicial system. I don't need their input anymore. Because really, the whole goal over here is to get the best judicial system we can. It's going to create a better, more professional judicial process. And maybe that, again, becomes the issue between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Okay. There's a third issue. But we're going to pause over here. We'll stop over here. And next time we get together, we're going to discuss a third issue, a very, very basic issue, a very fundamental issue. And we'll do that, and then we'll move on to the next topic. So again, just to quickly summarize, we have in the Mishnah halacha that whenever there's a monetary dispute, you have a selection process in terms of designing a court. Each litigant is going to be selecting a judge, and then we're going to select the third judge. And what's the goal? So to get to the end of the Gemara says to get to din amiso, to get to honest judgment. And in this Gemara's conclusion, we have two pshatim and tosfos. One pshat is that it's just there to placate the litigants and just to make them feel more included and involved, so that when the litigants, someone's going to lose. And when you have the loser, he won't be such a sore loser. That's one possibility. Or the second possibility is no. This actually will improve the whole judicial process, and this will serve to make a better, more professional court and a better judgment, which is the second Pshat Tosfos. And now, based on these two explanations, so we explain. Number one, we explain that this could be a function of how we're going to read Rashi. Are we going to read Rashi that these two selected judges are serving more, are behaving more like lawyers, or are they behaving more like judges? The Rashi over here does not want to entertain the idea that they're behaving like lawyers. That's an avos. That's a perversion of justice. And some others, who the Rashi rejects, say no, that actually they're serving more like lawyers. So again, that issue of how to read Rashi is really going to be a function of what the purpose over here. Are we looking to placate the litigants, or are we looking to make a more professional, a more accurate judgment? Number two is the selection of the third judge. If we're interested in placating, we're going to have the two litigants themselves be involved in the selection of the third judge. If we're just looking to make a more professional judgment, so we've selected the judges, they were involved in the selection of judges, good. Now in terms of the selection of the third judge, the judges themselves will do so. So maybe once again, this very basic issue of what the mission statement of the Mishnah is going to then depend on these two issues. We have a third issue coming up. We'll start next week with the third issue, and then we'll move on to another topic as well.